If you're new to our church, welcome. We want to see you after second service in our growth track. So go have lunch, have brunch somewhere, and come back at about 12:30. And we want to get you plugged into our church family. So that happens through our growth track. Today is growth track one. So today is the day that we help to get you on that road to getting you plugged into this church family. So we're really excited about that. So I want to thank you for being here this morning. It's a great honor to have you guys here and just to worship God. And just to, did you guys catch the fact that the worship team was like, well, forget the songs that we're supposed to sing. Let's just worship God, right? I love when the team is like, we're not here to sing songs. We're just here to worship God. So that's so much, worshiping God is so much more important than worship songs. You know what I'm saying? You get that? And I love that our team is so sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we just want to worship God. We don't want to, there's no show, there's no performance. It's just people that love God and want to give Him praise. So I heard a story about a wealthy guy who was a pilot. He had a small plane, and him and his buddy were just tooling around the South Pacific, and I mean, there's thousands, tens of thousands of little islands, and they would just kind of, you know, fly in and stay for a couple days and then zip around to the next and just having a blast. The problem is one time they weren't careful, didn't calculate correctly, and it's a wide open ocean out there, and they ran out of fuel. So they saw a small, looked like deserted island, and he was going to have to ditch the plane, you know, right on the edge of the water and the beach, because of course there was no runway, and miraculously was safely able to land that plane right on the beach, but you know, the wings, you know, ripped off, and they safely landed, but the plane was wrecked. So they jumped out of the plane, and the one guy who wasn't the pilot, man, he started running all over the island looking for any sign of life or any people and if there's any chance of survival. And he does a big loop of the island and he runs back and he's like, dude, this is an uninhabited island. There's no food. There's no water. We're going to die out here. But the guy who owned the plane was just leaning up against the fuselage. And he's like, no, we're not going to die out here. I make over $1 million a year. And the first man was like, wait, what? Dude, we're on a deserted island. We're doomed. And the guy's just cool as a cucumber, leaning up against the fuselage of that plane. He said, nah, man, I make over $100,000 a week. Now, mystified, the guy's like, I don't think you understand me. How much money you make has nothing to do with us getting off of this island. We are lost and we're going to die here. Still, totally unfazed. The guy's just cool as a cucumber, just kind of picking on the sand out of his nails. He says, I'm going to say it one more time. I make over $100,000 a week, and I tithe to my church. Our pastor is going to find me. Today, I want to talk about finances in the church. Because last week, we talked about our church community. We talked about that what we do together. We do as a family. And that I was looking over the end of the year finances from 2020. The giving at Uncommon Church set an all-time record. It actually went up 9%. And I was just like blown away by your generosity. So we as a whole, we as a church, we are blessed financially. We're extremely generous. And usually people don't like when preachers talk about finances because there's two ditches. And either one ditch is that people believe in that prosperity is the mark of great spirituality. And the other ditch over here says poverty is the mark of great spirituality. And both ditches are wrong. So I want to talk about how to be blessed and how to walk in blessing financially. And I'm going to give you a really weird verse to start. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Church family, obey your spiritual leaders. Do what they say. Their work, so my work, Josie's work, Jeff's work, our work as leaders is to watch over your souls because we're accountable to God for that. We're accountable for your souls before God. So why would we talk about finances? Because we watch over your souls. And because we love you so much, we are accountable to God for your soul. And listen to me carefully. After salvation in Jesus, your finances is the number one thing I'm burdened for. Why? Because in our culture, money is the number one thing we worry about. It's the number one thing couples fight over. 90% of Americans say at one time in their life or another, they have really had real money trouble. 75% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. They don't have savings. They don't have any cushion. Sometimes they have more month than money. 95% of married people said they have had one good fight at least a year over something having to do with money. 80% of divorces claim that money trouble was one of the contributing factors to their divorce. Today, the average 28-year-old has $6,000 in high-interest debt. Debt controls America, and unfortunately, it controls many, many Christians. So, and here's the funny thing. Money, ironically, is the very thing that keeps most Christians from being blessed. So I want to talk about this today. So listen carefully. I want you to be blessed financially, but I want to give you some of the keys and the tools of how to do it. One of the main things about you being blessed financially is that it builds your faith. I want you to have faith in God. I want you to repent of sin and make Jesus the Lord of your life. But all of that is predicated on faith. Right now, you have faith that the chair that you're sitting in is going to hold you up. You have faith that the heat or air conditioning is going to work. You have faith that your car is going to work when you turn the key. Like, there's a lot of things we put our faith in. I want to help you build your faith in God. So one of the most important things about this church at Uncommon, our vision is to know God, grow strong, and do what he's called us to do. And that's a lot of what we're going to break down in our growth track for all of you new people. Know God, grow strong, and do what he's called you to do. So learning how to be blessed financially, it really deepens and strengthens your faith, which then enables all of us to do more, to spread the gospel around the world. So as your pastor, I hate seeing rich people struggle with the lust of money, but I also hate seeing poor people struggle to receive God's blessing. And in our church, if you look at the whole church as a whole, we have a lot of broke people. Some of you so broke, you've got a little Nicaraguan boy that's adopted you on a monthly basis. He's got your picture on his fridge. And some old school religious people go, it's not biblical to talk about money in the church. That's because you see money as a non-spiritual issue. When I read my Bible from Genesis to Revelation, God clearly defines that to him, money, giving, blessing is a spiritual issue. So too often we have more faith in money than we do in God. Too often we find our worth in money. I don't know why my voice went up like a seventh grader. Too often we find our worth in God and not, our worth in money and not in God. So here's one of the main things, which is what we're going to get into today. How can we go from being struggling financially in our mind, in our hearts, and literally in our checkbook to becoming blessed? That comes through becoming generous. So before we can become generous, the first thing we have to do is answer this question. Whose money is it? We have to determine ownership. So if you're married, you probably have some him money and some her money. But if you think about it, even if you have multiple bank accounts, the two have become one flesh, so it's both, it's all y'all's money. Well, in the body of Christ, we that are believers, we think of it that there's God's money and then there's my money. Well, let's see what the Bible says. Deuteronomy chapter 10 says, look, the highest heavens and the earth and everything in it, they all belong to the Lord. Psalm chapter 50, the Lord says, all the animals of the forest are mine, and I own the cattle on a thousand hills. Haggai 2:8 says, the silver is mine. God says, the gold is mine. The heavens and the earth are the Lord's. So my money that I think is mine is actually God's money. My job is to steward well what he gives me. So when we're answering the question, whose money is it? It's all God's money. If it's in your checkbook or you give it to the Lord or you give it to foreign missions, or it's all God's money. Whether you give it or not, it's all God's money. So you have to, in your mind, understand that when you get a paycheck, sometimes we talk about tithing in a few minutes, but like, how much of that belongs to the Lord? And you're like, the first 10% and the other 90%. It all belongs to the Lord. Number two, you're a child of God. You're not an orphan. If you've ever seen the musical about Oliver Twist and or read the books, and he's gotten half of a bowl of gruel and he's still hungry and he wants more, but there's a room full of 100 other orphans. But he gets the courage and the boldness after licking his bowl, and he goes back up to the pot and he says, please, sir, may I have some more? That's the way we talk to God sometimes. We've gotten through, there's more month than money, and we struggle and we strive, and we picture ourselves like an orphan going to God and saying, please, God, can I just have a little more? John chapter 1 says, all who believed in him, if you've repented of your sin and made Jesus of the Lord of your life, all who have believed in him have accepted Jesus, have been given the right to become children of the Most High God. So we need to break off poverty thinking, break off that orphan mentality, because your Father in heaven isn't broke. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He walks on streets of gold. So we need to just declare ourselves. I want you to declare this after me. Just repeat after me. Say, I am a child of God. My Father in heaven loves me. I am not an orphan. My Father is wealthy. My Father doesn't want me to worry about money. My Father wants to bless me financially. Because that's what good parents do. Good parents bless their kids. I don't put a lock on my refrigerator and say, listen, we went to the grocery store, we have these snacks, we have these food, we have this milk and cereal and things like that, but you may only eat when I say you can eat. No, believe it or not, my kids have free range of the pantry. My kids can go to the refrigerator anytime they want. And they do. I'm not quite as rich as God is yet. Honest to goodness, we'll go to the store, do, you know, whatever, we'll cook a meal, next day we come over and it's like, there's like cobwebs that have suddenly grown. And I'm like, what, this 24 hours ago, this was full. Because now they're in their 20s, but I used to have three teenagers at all at the same time, just eating and eating and eating. And that's fine, because I love my children and I was happy to always provide for them. I wanted to make sure there was always enough food in the pantry and in the fridge. The Lord wants to do the same thing for you. Because you're not an orphan, you're a child of the Most High God. Matthew chapter 7 says, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, are you gonna give them a stone? Of course not. If they ask for a fish or a cheeseburger, you gonna give them a snake? Of course not. So you guys that are sinful know how to give good gifts to your children, right? How much more your heavenly Father wants to give good gifts to those that ask? So that's the problem, is we often have this poverty mentality and we're looking for handouts. We're looking for the lottery to make us, you know, rich from, you know, the Mega Millions. We're looking to try to get into some kind of, you know, pyramid scheme where we're trying to get rich quick because we have this orphan mentality and we live in fear. Here's the key. We're not living in faith. So orphans are often jealous of another orphan that got seconds. If an orphan finds a scrap of bread, yeah, that orphan got a scrap of bread, but all the other orphans like hate that orphan for getting a new car, getting a raise, getting a promotion, having that handbag. Because the orphan's like, I have no parents to provide for me, so I have to fend for myself. You're not an orphan anymore. You repented of your sin. You made Jesus the Lord of your life. He adopted you into his family. You have a Father in heaven who walks on streets of gold. He wants to bless you financially. So if you're not yet blessed financially, and you have number one and number two in order, You know who owns what, and you know that you are a child, then let's look at number three, because this might be what's hanging you up. Generosity is the key to blessing, and that comes through the tithe. Now, in the world, there's nothing more uncomfortable than talking to people like you're talking to an unbeliever about salvation, right? Like your heart's beating out of your chest, but you know that God's called you to talk to somebody at the Chili's. So you go up to him and you say, hey, are you saved? Have you found Jesus? You know, like there's nothing more awkward than starting that conversation. Unfortunately, in the body of Christ today, there's nothing more uncomfortable for a preacher than talking to church folks about tithing. So let me explain what tithing was. The word tithe, it simply means tenth. And it was God's rules for the kingdom, that the people would give tenth of all of their income back to the Lord, and that's what he would use to run the nation of Israel. That's what he would use to run Jerusalem and the temple. So here was how the law was given, Leviticus chapter 27. One-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the field or fruit from the tree, look at this church, who does it belong to? It belongs to the Lord. That first tenth belongs to the Lord. So because of that, set it apart as holy. So what does that mean if you own animals? Verse 32, count off the tenth animal. You got 100, you know, goats. The first one belongs to the Lord. The 11th one belongs to the Lord. The 21st one belongs to the Lord. Set them apart as holy. So I don't want to take the time to read more verses, but he's saying this is our first fruits. We give to the Lord first. The Lord gets number 1, 11, 21, and 31, not number 10. He doesn't get it at the end. He gets it off the top. And then here's the question. Why does that goat become holy? Because it no longer belongs to part of the secular world, it's been given to the Lord. You've transferred wealth. Think of the little boy with the loaves and the fishes. That was his lunch for the day. But the moment he put it in the hands of God, then God began to multiply it. It went from being common, worldly, secular, to becoming kingdom, supernatural. That's what happens when we return to the Lord, what belongs to him. It's no longer ours, it's his, and it becomes secular, and then it becomes sacred. And then I love when people be like, listen, preacher, you don't understand. We don't have to give the tithe because we're just Gentile Christians in the New Testament dispensation. Okay, A, you're wrong. B, here's three reasons why. First, giving the tithe predates the law. Melchizedek in Genesis chapter 14 gave one-tenth of everything. Abraham in Genesis 14 gave one-tenth of everything to Melchizedek, who is a picture of Christ, but we'll talk about that later. Tithing was God's law for all of God's people, long before it became Jewish law. So later, yes, God includes the tithe in the Jewish law. So at the end of the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi was actually rebuking and challenging the people of Israel for not tithing. So just to address the second issue, well, we're not supposed to tithe because that's in the Old Testament. Listen, I don't have a New Testament without the foundation of the Old Testament. And if you're reading in a paper Bible, Malachi chapter 3 missed the New Testament by one little thin piece of paper. Malachi 3, why should the people of God cheat him? And yet you have cheated me. Wait, whoa, 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 what do you mean? How did we ever cheat you, God? You've cheated me out of tithes and offerings that are due to me. So therefore, you're under a curse. You and your whole nation have been cheating me. What you should do is bring all the tithe into the storehouse so there'll be enough food in my temple. If you do this, if you tithe, said the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it all in. Just try it. Put me to the test. You're allowed to test God in the area of tithing. So I'm just curious, how big is a financial blessing so great that we don't have room to contain it? Because my bank account can keep taking zeros and zero upon zeros upon zeros if the Lord wants to. You know what I'm saying? Our job is to give back to the Lord and test the Lord. My stepfather was an engineer for IBM, electrical engineer. He worked for NASA. He was, you know, rocket scientist kind of guy. Radically saved in the 70s. Heard a message on tithing. And he said, huh, the Lord said, test me. So what does an engineer do? Creates a spreadsheet. And he started tithing. Now, he was already making the most amount of money he could possibly make in his bracket, right? So at the end of the year, they come to him and say, hey, because of your excellent work and blah, 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 and we're restructuring, we are actually going to give you promotion and we're moving you to this next level financially. So he went back to his spreadsheet and he's like, okay, I put the Lord to the test. The reason I tithe today is because my stepfather learned to tithe in the 70s. I don't test God anymore because I've seen the fruit of it my whole childhood and in my whole life. So God said, another little question that comes up. So should we be giving tithe off of the gross or the net? I love this question. How much blessing do you want? A gross blessing or just a little bit of a net blessing? Gross. Let me make it very clear to you. You're hired to work at your job for $10 an hour. How much do you earn? $10 an hour. So how much of that belongs to the Lord? Okay, good question. How much of that should be tithed to the Lord? The first dollar. Not the second dollar, not the third dollar. The first dollar of every hour you work at that belongs to the Lord. Now, how much does Uncle Sam want? Too much. But the point is, let's say that the second dollar is going to go to Uncle Sam. So you only get $9 an hour because the first dollar went to taxes. But your tithe is off of the $10 an hour that you earn, not after, because if you're tithing on the net, then you're giving to the Lord second, not first. So tithe comes out first before Uncle Sam gets his. You have to look at giving as an act of worship. If you're not paying a bill, you're not paying your mortgage, you don't give it begrudgingly. I tell you, tithing for Josie and I is the best part of payday. Like when I get that email, pling, you have been paid. It's like your deposit and the amount and your pay stub is available. Click here. I assume most of you now get paid digitally like we do. The very first thing we do is we open uncommonchurch.tv/give and we log into our giving account and we give. And it's like, it's not like, oh, I got paid today. I have to give God the first 10%. It's like, we get to give to God today. It's the best part of payday. Before we pay any bills, before we pay any mortgage, before we do anything, we click those buttons. And it's an act of worship. And here's the problem. Sometimes I click the button without praying about it. But you know, when a farmer puts seed in the ground, he doesn't just like willy-nilly throw the seed in the ground. No, he's praying over the seed. God, I pray that this seed produces a harvest for my family. So when you click that button, man, you do it in faith. Put on a worship song, do a dance, lift your hands, and then click, because it's an act of worship. And here's the funny thing about Josie and I's giving. We've always tithed because her parents taught her to tithe. My parents taught me to tithe. It was never a question, even when we were Bible school broke. Bible school broke is a special kind of broke. That's extra broke. Can I get an amen from the Bible school students? So, because we weren't single. We were married with 1.5 kids. Like, that's broke on top of broke. But we would tithe, even in those days. And God sustained us, obviously. But we've tithed, so we're coming up on 25 years of marriage. For more than 20 years, we tithed. And I'm not gonna lie, here's the funny thing. I thought we were generous. I thought we were being generous. Because as we started over the years to earn more money, what we were giving was going up. So I'm like, hey, we're generous people. But if you go back, according to Malachi chapter 3:8, robbing God means you're not giving 10%. So I'm like, man, that's like the bare minimum. I wasn't being generous, I was just not robbing God. But if you look, the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, here's your third point. Jesus was always pushing the envelope in the New Testament. The Old Testament said, don't murder. Jesus said, dude, don't even get angry. The Old Testament said, don't commit adultery. Jesus said, don't even lust in your mind. So if you look at the Old Testament law, you should give a tithe. In the New Testament, it's like, there should be radical generosity. And you see it all through the book of Acts. So generosity starts at 11%. The law was to tithe. But that's actually the bare minimum of what God wants us to give. And did you notice that he said, you're robbing me of the tithes and the offering. So tithing, yeah, it's not a New Testament thing. Do you want a New Testament thing from Jesus himself? He told the rich young ruler to sell everything and give everything. Would you prefer that? Furthermore, Jesus said, I didn't come to just like do the law. I came to fulfill the law. So yeah, the law said you should give, but I've given so much more. Furthermore, here's point number four about why we give in the New Testament. The New Testament was written by religious Jews. Tithing was like a non-negotiable to religious Jews because it had been part of the law. So Paul and Peter, James, those guys are writing out those scriptures that we look at the New Testament, tithing was like not even up for debate to these men. So they didn't include it, but they didn't have to include it because for 4,000 years, the Jews tithed. Like, it was just foundational, breathe, tithe. So it was assumed. Gravity was a law in the Old Testament, happens to still be a law in the New Testament. One more thing about the tithe before we move on. I read to you Malachi chapter 3 about not robbing God, and that if you would give your tithe, God said, I'll open the windows of heaven and I'll pour out a blessing so great you don't have room to contain it. But I stopped at verse 10. Can I read you verse 11 about tithe? The Lord says, if you tithe, I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruit of your soil, the vine in your field, nor shall fail to bear. Wealth that is not tithed on is open to the devourer. So you're going to pay 10%. You're either going to give it to God or give it to the devourer. You're going to give it to broken down cars. You're going to give it to bad investments. You're going to give it to money lost. You're going to give it to an accident. You're going to give that 10% either to the Lord and he'll protect the devourer, or you're going to give it to the devourer. So here's my heart. I've already told you, giving to the Lord, giving to the church, we don't need your money. 2020 was the best year we've ever had in the history of our church. This is about my love for you. This is about the fact that I care for your soul. This is about the fact that I want you to be blessed. And when you tithe, it builds your faith. Sometimes we go through life where our faith is challenged, our faith struggles. But for those that are mature believers that tithe, I'm telling you, God opens the windows of heaven, and every time he does, it builds your faith more and more and more and more. So here's the deal. You have $1,000 and you give $100 to the Lord, you don't have less money, you have more. Because God's working on your behalf to bless you. So some people will be like, hey, listen, preacher, I want to tithe, but I just can't tithe till I get my money right. You'll never get your money right until you do things God's way. I looked up the stats. I was curious. American Church, a research survey from 2019, so just a year and a half ago. In the American Church, 17% of church attenders tithe regularly. 17%. So I asked Lene, who's our administrator, to run a report, and we just kind of spitball average, because we don't know what anybody makes, so we don't, you know. We think, just from looking at the numbers, about 40% of Uncommon Church are tithers, regular tithers. I'm so proud of you. But here's the thing, wherever you are in your walk, I want you to take another step. It's like, I want you just to take one. I wish I had a ladder. I wish I had thought to bring a ladder, or if I had asked the ushers to prepare a ladder. Is there a ladder being brought out behind me right now? Okay, good. Thanks, guys, for reading my mind. So, wherever you are in your walk with God, man, I want you to just take another step. So you might be down here, and you're like, I've never really given to the Lord. I've never really given to the church. So you are what we would consider a potential giver. So I want you to just take that, hey, I'm going to become a potential giver. Good, you're on step one. You're already on the ladder. But then number two would be, I'm an occasional giver. You know, I'll give once a month. I'll give once in a while. Well, good. Take another step. So it just take another step. So then I want you to become a regular giver. All right, I'm taking the step. I'm going to become a regular giver, whatever that looks like. But then what's after just giving regularly? Tithing. I'm going to take that first 10%. I'm going to give it to the Lord. So I'm going to be a regular tither. I'm right here. But then what happens at 10%? That's great. You're being obedient. You're not robbing God. God opens the windows of heaven. He pours out a blessing. After that is 11%. After that is I'm being generous. I'm tithing, I'm giving offerings, God is blessing me, my faith is building, I walk in blessing and favor in God. And so that's important that we do that. We're up here, we're like, I am walking in faith and I'm giving in generosity. But do you know there's more steps? Outrageous generosity. Like I'm up here and I'm like, I walk and I live in outrageous generosity that nothing can stop me because my faith is so much in the Lord. And when he gives me money and blessing and promotion, I don't see it as my own. I see it as God. I see it as kingdom and I want to put it back in the kingdom. So wherever you are, take another step. So thanks, fellas. I have I'm not afraid of heights, by the way. I know that makes some of you guys like quiver in cold sweat, but at no heights. And last time I did the illustration, I went all the way up, but I didn't today. Second service. So I have a confession to make. Josie and I no longer tithe. We did for 20 plus years, but we no longer tithe. 2 years ago, we looked at our budget and we said, we want to work our way to outrageous generosity. No, we can't do that. Our budget is tight. We've got three kids, you know, at that time, two in college, like, going to outrageous generosity wasn't an option. What can we do? So we changed how we give, and we started giving 11%. Plus, we do other things for missions, and we have Compassion International and other things that we do for, you know, offerings. But we went to 11%. And the crazy thing was we never, like, missed that extra 1%. So then last January, we're like, you want to do it again? It was like in Ocean's 11, like, do we need one more? Yeah, we need one more. So we went from 11% to 12%. And then just to see God move and bless our family and build our faith, right? So this is January again, and Friday was payday. I got the email, and it's like, you get like a quivery, like, do you think we could do it again? Do you think we could go to 13%? So we're no longer tithing. We're working on outrageous generosity. Right now, we're barely generous. Like, we're barely outside of robbing God. but that's our goal, is our heart, is just to continue to just give just a little bit more and just to give a little bit more. Now, sometimes, here's the problem. Some of you guys are in such personal, high-interest credit card debt or other kind of debt, you're like, bro, I couldn't do it. Like, I'm drowning in debt. We've already told you that most Americans live in high-interest debt. I found this stat when I was looking up stats this week. 80% of regular tithers have zero high interest debt. That blew my face off. 80% of regular tithers have zero. Now, they have a mortgage, they might have a car, not, you know, a payment plan on a new couch, fine. 80% of people that tithe regularly have zero personal debt. So here's my thought. You're struggling with debt? I would encourage you to start tithing. Because what's going to happen is you're going to learn to manage your money well. You're going to put God first, and you're going to then really begin to manage your money well. And then what's going to happen? God's going to begin to bless you. And through God's blessing and through managing your money well, he's going to begin to favor you. He's going to begin to protect you from the devourer interest is a devourer, and you're going to get out of debt. Something you may not know is that we believe so strongly in tithing that the church tithes as well. So, and I thought every church did this. And the more I travel, the more I talk to the pastors and help other churches grow and look at their budgets and make some suggestions and advice, and I look over their numbers and I'm like, you're not tithing. Like, it just, no wonder you're struggling. So our church tithes, we always have, I mean, since day one. So every dollar you give, the first 10 cents goes to world missions, it goes to outreach, it goes to feeding the poor, it goes to Six Stones, it goes to India, it goes to Sri Lanka, it goes to Israel, it goes to church coaching, hurting families right here in the mid-cities. So the church tithes as well. Because I can't expect God to bless our church if the church doesn't trust God with that tithe as well. Truly kingdom people, they begin to look for a harvest. But here's the thing, I don't want you to ever give so that you can get. Do you hear my heart? Please never, ever, ever give to God so that you can get from God. Truly kingdom-minded people, this is not a get-rich program. Like, well, I'm going to give to the Lord. He'll give back to me. Press down, shaking together, running over. You know, no, listen, just give to the Lord to be a blessing. And then what's going to happen is God will bless you, but then I want you to make sure that you're not holding on to that, but that you're giving more money. It's prosperity with a purpose. It's prosperity so that you can bless other people. So I don't know about you guys. I think it went out to everybody. I got my tax receipt for giving to the church on Friday afternoon, and I moved the zero, and I was like, I did a little happy dance. We gave away more money in 2020 than we used to earn when we first got married, like way more money. And I'm like, this is amazing. But I never ever think about giving just so that I could get. You see what I'm saying? I want you to have prosperity, but with the purpose of seeing the kingdom expanded all over the world. Now, here's the funny thing about that. So if I ask this question, most people will answer it wrong. When we give, what is the purpose of our giving? And our usual answer sounds spiritual. It's to support the work of the ministry. Whoa. I've already told you the church had the best year ever. I've already told you that God walks on streets of gold and owns the cattle on a thousand hills. God doesn't need your money. God does not need our money. It's a test of our hearts. And it helps to build our faith. Know God, grow strong. We're trying to help you grow strong. And it reveals which kingdom you trust, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of this world. So giving is for our benefit, not for his benefit. The funny thing is, if you're new to giving, especially new to tithing or whatever, I understand sometimes it hurts. You're like, I can't give. Money is tight. It hurts for me to give. That's the way I feel when I have to go shopping. Like, it hurts for me to have to go shopping. And today, Josie said, we've got to go shopping this afternoon. We got to hit up Target. We need XYZ. We got to go to the grocery store and we got XYZ. And I'm like, babe, it hurts me.
Hey, I got something
for
you.
What?
Here you go, man.
A Visa gift card.
Yeah.
How much is on it?
$200, man.
$200?
Yeah, there you go. Go shopping.
Thank you. Albert, wait. Man, I'm so blessed by that. And do you know why he gave it so freely? Because I gave it to him before service to give to me. Can I make a point? He didn't see it as his. He saw it as mine, and he was simply returning it to me. It only hurts when you're giving, you think you're giving what belongs to you instead of just partnering with the Lord. So because of your generosity, man, Albert, I want to give that back to you, and now I do give you that gift of $200, man. I love you. Wait a second. Al. I was generous to you, and I want to see if you'd be generous to somebody else. Let's just pick somebody in the crowd. Katie Beck, run up here as quick as you can. I want to be generous to you. So if I'm asking you, because you can trust me now, if you could give that $200 to Candy. Oh, I love that, Albert. Thank you. Yay, God. All right, Candy. $200. Yours. Walk away. Thank you, ma'am. You're good to go. Yay, God. Hold on. Wait. I think we can do better. Because I have another gift card for another $200. So I want to give that to you because you were so generous to her. Good. Thanks, man. Candy, can you give that $200 gift card to Elizabeth Cordova right there in front of you? Yeah, just give it to her. Thanks, man. Albert, can you give that $200 to Candy because she was a blessing to Elizabeth? Thanks, man. Just run on back there. Good. I love this generosity.
You
Everybody gets a gift. No, easy. Candy, I hate to ask you again. Could you give that gift card to Elizabeth so that now she has the $400, both gift cards? See, something that you don't know. My heart's desire the entire time was to give Elizabeth a blessing. But I wanted to see who I could trust along the way. I wanted to see if there would be people that would partner with me and be a river of God's blessing and not a dam that would hold it back for themselves. See, giving is a test. I was trying to bless Elizabeth, but I was looking for people that would help partner with me to be a blessing. So when God asks you to give, he's not trying to take from you. He's trying to partner with you. He's helping to open our eyes to see who can we be a blessing with to the people in the world around us. See, that's God's heart, is can he trust us with what he's given us so that we partner with him? And it's that he wants to move finances through his people. God is looking for those that could be blessed to be a blessing. That we trust God, and then he trusts us. And that the finances, it comes through us. Too many Christians, they get like babies, and they just hold it, mine. And we hold back and we dam up the very thing that God wants to do through us. He wants to create a river of financial blessing through your life. Side note, some of you were like, wait, that's the end of the illustration? Elizabeth gets to keep the $400? Yes. And only an orphan would judge. See, if you truly have the heart of the family, of what God is doing, that we is greater than me, you would over be there like, I'm so happy, you're not gonna believe it. The Cordova's got $400 today, it's amazing. When we covet other people's blessing, it closes the door to receiving our own. Hop up on your feet, I wanna pray for you. Guys, after salvation in Jesus, this is the most important thing I can teach you. Because statistically, this is the number one thing we struggle with. We struggle with money. But God's like, I don't want them to struggle. I've created a plan. It's woven in to the very fabric of the kingdom of God. Ways that he'll bless us. Now, when I say bless, I don't mean multi-bazillion dollars, but maybe I do. The people that give the most money to the kingdom, they earn a lot of money. Why? Because they've proven to the Lord time and time and time again, they can be trusted to receive like Albert and then to give. To receive like Candy and then to give. You see what I'm saying? He's looking, can I trust you? And here's the funny thing. The Lord doesn't want to be Lord of your checkbook. He wants to be Lord of your heart. See, it all starts in the heart. We're trusting God with our finances. But who cares about money? We're trusting God with what matters most, the true riches of this world, our hearts, our lives, our marriage, our kids, our grandkids, the next generation. I tithe because my parents taught me to tithe. My kids tithe because I taught them to tithe. Their kids are gonna tithe because their great-grandfather started tithing back in the 70s. They put God to the test. God showed himself faithful. It's been a non-starter ever since for all of us. And I want that to be the case for your legacy as well. But nothing starts financially until it starts in our heart. I want to pray for you. Father in heaven, I pray that you would remove that spirit of poverty from this church and from this city. God, I pray that we would transform the mid-cities. We'd transform Euless and Bedford and Hearst and North Richland Hills. That we would become a blessed part of DFW. People think of Westlake and Southlake and North Park and those areas as extremely blessed. God, I want the mid-cities to be where the blessing is. So before we can see that kind of blessing in the mid-cities, I want to see it in our church. So I pray that you would help us to see ourselves as your children, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, that we would see ourselves faithful and trustworthy with what you've given us to return to you what belongs to you. And then, God, that we would begin a journey of generosity. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Give us ears to hear where we should give, when we should give, how we should give, and that you would receive the honor and the glory. With every head bowed and every eye closed in prayer, I told you it starts in the heart. It has nothing to do with the checkbook. If you're here this morning and you have not yet made Jesus the Lord of your life, today is your day. If there's sin in your life, that's separating you from God, today is the day that he's going to remove that sin as far as the east is from the west. If today you feel like an orphan, like an outsider in the family of God, today is your day to repent of your sin. And he says he'll adopt you into his family. If you've been running from God, maybe you knew the Lord a long time ago, but you've been running from God for years. Today is your day to stop running, turn around, and you're gonna find that the arms of the Father are open wide to you because he loves you so much. If you're ready to repent of sin and make Jesus the Lord of your life, either for the first time or the first time in a long time, today is your day. And I'd like to lead you in that prayer. It's a prayer of faith that you're gonna have to pray from your heart, but I can help you, I can lead you. But I would like to know who I'm praying for. So if you're here this morning and that's you, and you're like, preacher, today's my day, I've got to get right with God, I want you to shoot your hand up real high and just say, pray for me. Today's my day that I need to repent of my sin. I see your hand. Is there anybody else? Just shoot your hand up real high. I see your hand. Is there anybody else? Good, good, good. Hey, for the sake of these two, why don't we all pray it together? If you believe it in your heart, pray this out loud. Say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. I repent and I turn to you to wash me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness, to make me a child of the Most High God. I receive the gift of eternal life. Jesus, be the Lord of my heart, Savior of my soul. And Father God, I pray you'd bless me financially. Give me the faith to take a step in my giving. Help me to tithe. Help me to become generous. Help me to become outrageously generous so that I can be trusted to steward your money well. Bless me, Lord, so I can be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name. We say, church. Hey, for the sake of the two, man, I'm so proud of you for making Jesus the Lord of your life. Golly. It's the best decision you'll ever make. What I'd like you to do is, if you're one of those two guys, I want you to reach into the seat back in front of you and fill out that black skinny connect card. Give us your name and your email address. Mark on there that you gave your heart to Jesus or you recommitted your life to the Lord. And we want to get in touch with you. You can either bring that to one of our prayer team that are going to be praying up here in a minute. In fact, once y'all come, or you can drop it off in the buckets on the way out. There's going to be ushers with buckets that you can drop offerings and prayer requests and those cards into.